The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. From today's Vision News is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up, from the acb.org, regarding next convention in 2024, that'll be this week. 2024 Proposed Resolutions, Bylaws, and Standing Rules. Table of Contents. Resolution 2024-01, The Use of Shapes and Braille for Labeling Products. Resolution 2024-02, NLS and Spelling of Authors' Names. Resolution 2024-03, Creating a Communications Working Group. Resolution 2024-06, don't know what happened to 4 and 5, decisions impacting ACB members. Resolution 2024-09, don't know what happened to 7 and 8, enhancing employment opportunities for individuals who are blind or have low vision. Resolution 2024-10, NLS racial, ethnic, and cultural searches. Resolution 2024-11, promoting military dining facilities. Resolution 2024-12, audio description for streaming services. Resolution 2024-13, accessibility of next-gen TV. Resolution 2024-14, making ADA paratransit more equitable. Resolution 2024-15, QR and barcode accessibility. Proposed Constitution and Bylaws, Proposal 2024-01, to change all instances of ACB Radio to ACB Media to reflect its current designation. These two references occur in Article 5, Paragraph C, and Bylaw 6L as follows. And you can read the Constitution to find that out. Proposal 2024-02, conforming constitutional amendment required to align Article 11 with the language and intent of Bylaw 6D as passed last year, requiring that constitutional and or bylaw proposals be submitted 60 days before the opening of convention. Proposal 2024-03, replacing voice vote with rising vote and amending the requirements for a record vote. Discussion paragraph. The committee considers that with the hybrid convention format and consequent need to integrate vote counts from both the floor of the convention and Zoom, the continued use of voice votes is untenable. The term rising vote is used in proposed Article 3C subsection 2, as that is the recognized term to indicate a counted vote according to Robert's Rules of Order, newly revised 12th edition. The committee also considers that the altered requirements applicable to record votes as proposed in Article 3C, subsection 3, are necessary due to the time constraints imposed by the hybrid convention format. Proposal 2024-04, removing the phrase "or their designee, which designee shall have signed the confidentiality agreement applicable to all board members" from Constitution Articles 4, Section H and 6, Section C. Proposed convention standing rules were passed in April, so that's moot, and I won't read that here. From AffordableCareNC.com, these NC General Assembly bills are bad for affordability. If you care about the cost of health care and prescription drugs in North Carolina, then there are two active legislative proposals you should be very concerned about. Both will make health care more expensive and less safe for businesses, workers, and their families. PBM Reform, House Bill 246. Some PBM reform is good. The Affordable Health Care Coalition scored and supported PBM reforms in the past. HB 246, however, isn't one that will help consumers save money or increase transparency. Instead, this bill is about increasing financial returns for pharmacies and drug manufacturers at the expense of consumers. The bill creates a new pharmacy tax on consumers, which will raise the cost of every prescription you fill. The bill increases dispensing fees by as much as 1,000%. There is no added benefit to the consumer. This is a financial windfall for the big pharmacy chains. This includes mandates that would lead to higher drug costs, removes the ability to reimburse pharmacies based on quality and outcomes. Experts have already warned us about the impacts of misguided PBM laws. This is exactly the kind of bill they are talking about. PBM reforms passed by the General Assembly in 2021 have not even been fully implemented yet. Those reforms should be allowed to happen. Then the focus should turn to lowering drug costs for consumers. Optimization reviews, House Bill 649. Prior authorizations, or optimization reviews as they are more accurately described, serve as safety and cost checks for patients. For example, they can stop the overprescribing of opioids or flag that a patient is on a separate medication that has a dangerous interaction with opioids. They also help ensure affordability. For instance, some doctors accept money or gifts from drug and medical device companies who want the doctors to prescribe their drugs and use their products. These reviews make sure patients receive the most affordable, safest, and beneficial treatments, regardless of the doctor's financial incentives. HB 649 would effectively end a health plan's ability to conduct these reviews, thus undercutting safety and affordability. The bill dramatically increases insurance premiums. One study said the impact of passing a bill like HB 649 could increase premiums by as much as $2,800 a year for a family of four. Rewards doctors with a gold card even if they mess up 20% of the time. Under this bill, a doctor could overprescribe opioids, expose you to huge bills by sending labs out of network, or have you pay for duplicative tests one out of every five times and keep their gold card. This gold card is essentially a free pass where doctors do not have to go through any cost or safety reviews. Undermines new federal guidelines and institutes unworkable standards that will result in more denials from insurance companies. Everyone agrees that patients shouldn't face unreasonable burdens and delays when it comes to getting treatment or medicine. They should also have access to the safest and most affordable care possible. New federal regulations addresses these burdens by requiring health insurers to make major changes to their prior authorization processes. HB 649 gets in the way of these new regulations, and that will only mean bad things for cost, safety, and people's health care experience. Help our champions stand strong. While the lobbyists and special interests were able to get both these bills through the House, they have not passed the Senate. Many of our affordable health care champions are standing strong against the cost-raising proposals. Help us have their back and sign up here to say no to higher drug costs and no to higher premiums and unsafe care. Your support can help keep these bad bills from becoming law. Be sure to sign up for updates and be the first to know when lawmakers introduce bills that will impact what you pay at the doctor and pharmacy. That website is called affordablecarenc.com, and those hot links are in the article. From disabilitierightsnc.org, 25 years after Olmstead, the fight for disability rights presses on. A message from DRNC CEO Virginia Knowlton, K-N-O-W-L-T-O-N, Marcus, M-A-R-C-U-S. 25 years ago today, the U.S. Supreme Court handed down the most consequential disability rights case in history, Olmstead versus L.C. The defendant in the litigation was Tommy Olmstead, commissioner of the Georgia Department of Human Resources. The plaintiffs, Lois Curtis and Elaine Wilson, were disabled women who brought the lawsuit to vindicate their right to live in the community with supports, rather than being segregated in institutions. The Supreme Court's decision in this case affirmed the right of people with disabilities to receive community-based services, instead of being stuck in unwanted institutionalization. I will always remember the immense joy we in the disability community and our allies felt on June 22, 1999, after receiving news of the decision. It felt like the whole world had shifted. I'm glad we didn't know then what we do now, that shifting public investment from institutions to community-based services would be incredibly hard, with slow progress. It makes no sense. Community living is what the vast majority of we disabled people want. It is significantly more cost-effective than facility-based care, and it results in far better outcomes. It is a stain in our society that we continue to stick people in congregate settings just because they happen to have a disability, rather than welcoming and including all people in our communities. People with disabilities have the right to participate fully in society and receive the support necessary to lead independent lives. Warehousing people in institutions when they want to be included in their community is unlawful discrimination. Full stop. North Carolina's Olmstead Plan lacks ambition, imagination, and investment. People with disabilities in our state should not have to plead or take some day for an answer. If we want to exercise our legal right to live in the community with services to learn, work, and play alongside non-disabled people, we must fight for it. We have to actively pursue our vision of strong community infrastructure that consists of good jobs for direct support professionals and ample supports and housing choices for people with disabilities. North Carolina has both the need and the resources to create a robust community infrastructure. As Frederick Douglass once advised, if there is no struggle, there is no progress. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will. Who would be free themselves must strike the blow. Our siblings from National ADAPT are coming to North Carolina to join us in this fight. These are disability activists who mean business and get results. From fighting for accessible transportation to saving the Affordable Care Act to full-throated advocacy to end the institutional bias that keeps disabled people from thriving in their communities, ADAPT members have been willing to lead the charge. Join us in bringing attention to the 25th anniversary of the Olmstead decision and calling for its full and prompt implementation in North Carolina and beyond. The National ADAPT Rally to Free Our People happened June 23rd, a Sunday from 2 to 4, on the Halifax Mall, 300 North Salisbury Street in Raleigh. I'm sorry that it's passed. From DisabilityScoop.com. Justice Department cites states for disability rights violations. A quarter century after a landmark U.S. Supreme Court decision affirming the rights of people with disabilities to live in the community, federal officials are cracking down on Americans with Disabilities Act violations in multiple states. The Department of Justice announced in recent days that investigations found that both Utah and Missouri are unnecessarily segregating people with disabilities. In addition, the agency took actions in Alaska, Ohio, and Alabama to uphold the rights of voters with disabilities. The move comes as the nation marks the 25th anniversary of the High Court's decision in Olmstead v. L.C., in the case, the Supreme Court found that unjustified segregation of people with disabilities is discriminatory under the ADA. The court ruled that states must provide services in the community when appropriate to individuals with disabilities if they do not oppose it, and if community-based services can be reasonably accommodated. In Utah, the Justice Department found that the state is violating the ADA by unnecessarily segregating adults and youth with intellectual and developmental disabilities in employment and day service settings that prevent them from interacting with people without disabilities to the fullest extent possible. The state relies too heavily on sheltered workshops and day programs where people with disabilities have little choice about how to spend their time, federal officials said. What's more, the investigation concluded that youth with disabilities are at risk of unnecessary segregation when they transition to adult services. The Justice Department pointed to guidance it issued last year, there's a hot link for that, addressing how the requirements of the Olmstead opinion apply to publicly funded employment and day services. Full inclusion in society is a central promise of the ADA, said Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark, C-L-A-R-K-E, of the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division. People with intellectual and developmental disabilities are entitled to full inclusion and to the dignity and purpose that comes with deciding where to work and how to spend their days. Meanwhile, in Missouri, federal officials found the state violated the ADA by unnecessarily institutionalizing adults with mental health disabilities in nursing facilities. The Justice Department determined that the state is not providing the community-based services necessary to meet people's needs and is relying too heavily on guardianships, leading people who should be able to be served in the community to wind up in nursing facilities instead. A separate investigation found that Alaska is discriminating against voters with disabilities by failing to provide an accessible ballot, selecting inaccessible polling places, and having an inaccessible elections website. The Justice Department also filed statements of interest in cases in Ohio and Alabama regarding the right of people with disabilities to receive assistance when voting. Shira Wachschlag, that's W-A-K-S-C-H-L-A-G, Senior Director of Legal Advocacy and General Counsel at the ARC, said her group welcomed the flurry of activity from the Justice Department. Each action represents important progress to realizing the promise of Olmstead and ensuring that people with disabilities can live in the communities of their choice with the supports they need to thrive, she said. However, Maria Town, President and CEO of the American Association of People with Disabilities, noted that the government's findings highlight the many barriers that remain and that fulfilling Olmstead's promise of integration requires constant monitoring and accountability. While I am glad that the Department of Justice has investigated and taken action to uphold disabled people's Olmstead civil rights, it is devastating that 25 years after the decision, disabled advocates' demands for true full integration are still unfulfilled, she said. So many of these cases coming out at the same time also raises questions about what is happening, where these violations go unreported or are better hidden across the country. Read more stories like this one. Sign up for Disability Scoop's free email newsletter to get the latest developmental disability news sent straight to your inbox. From AFB.org, Focus Spring 2024 AFB Showcase. AFB is excited to share that the AFB award-winning documentary film Possibilities was featured in the 10th Annual AV Film Fest held April 28th in Napa Valley, California. The film screening took place at Longboard Vineyards with a special panel featuring AFB's Eric Bridges, Melody Goodspeed, and the film's director, Bill Sarine, S-A-R-I-N-E. After the screening, a special meet-and-greet was hosted by AFB for festival participants. AFB co-chair Diane Fazzi, F-A-Z-Z-I, and trustees Sharon Giovinazzo, G-I-O-V-I-N-A-Z-Z-O, and Sarah Herlinger, H-E-R-R-I-N-G-E-R, joined Bridges and Goodspeed to help raise awareness and garner support for the film. Thanks to all those who traveled from the greater San Francisco region and beyond to participate in this special event. Private screenings for Possibilities. Join AFB for a special evening near you. The American Foundation for the Blind, AFB, is holding a few special evening receptions and screenings in various regions of the new documentary film Possibilities. A century after Keller first began working for AFB, this film celebrates her life and the impact that her legacy has had on a new generation. Possibilities is a compelling documentary co-produced by AFB and Beach Glass Films and directed by Bill Sarine. This production engaged a collaborative team comprised of both blind and sighted individuals. Notably, Possibilities proudly stands as the first widely released film to offer open audio descriptions, ensuring accessibility for all audiences. Learn more about the documentary and watch the trailer at the Hot Link. AFB is happy to invite our special family and friends to these exclusive events for a preview of the film to spread the word and to help this film reach its full potential. Our next upcoming screening will be held at AFB's 2024 Helen Keller Achievement Awards, which was in April. You can join us to celebrate this year's HKAA awardees and watch the screening of Possibilities with a panel of special guests to follow. We hope you will join us at HKAA award ceremony and screening, or in one or more of our other screening regions. The next screenings are September 14th in Dallas, Texas, and Huntington, West Virginia, September 7th. But those enrollments are closed, and those screenings are from last year. From NFB.org, the National Federation of the Blind National Convention is the largest gathering of blind people in the world. It is the premier event for training, support, and information for the blind community. Although the convention is open to all, our Constitution states that only members of the NFB have the right to participate in decision-making when it comes to organizational policy. If you are not already a member, join the NFB today. The National Convention offers hundreds of sessions, dynamic presentations, and countless opportunities. Review each of the following sections for all the details on what to expect. Date and location, July 3rd through 8th, 2024, Rosen Center, R-O-S-E-N-C-E-N-T-R-E, 9840 International Drive, Orlando, Florida, 32819. The convention agenda. Wednesday, July 3rd, registration and packet pickup opens, seminars, breakout sessions. Thursday, July 4th, exhibit hall opens, resolutions committee, more breakouts. Friday, July 5th, national board and national division meetings. Saturday, July 6th, general sessions with opening ceremonies and presidential report. July 7th, Sunday, general sessions with presentations, business and financial support report. Monday, July 8th, general sessions with more presentations, banquet, and adjournment. There are additional formats, activities, and details with hot links to click on for your first-timers, your honor roll, sponsors, etc. From APH.org, Leveling the Playing Field, Perspective of a Deafblind User, American Printing House. Leveling the Playing Field, article by... Oh, it doesn't say. Danielle Burton, APH's Communications Accessibility Editor, has long hoped for a piece of access technology that levels the playing field for students who are left blind like herself. The Monarch is just what Danielle has been waiting for. I was first introduced to the Monarch in early February 2023 at the Principals of Schools for the Blind, POSB, conference in Louisville, said Danielle. I got an opportunity to look at a tactile map of the United States and learn how the Zoom feature worked. I was floored at what I could see on the Monarch and how it integrated the tactile graphics display, the Braille, and, of course, the Perkins-styled keyboard. Joining the APH team in November 2023, Danielle was given the opportunity to test the Monarch's Nemeth Math feature. The ability to read multiple lines of math on one device made this task simple and less tedious. It was easier to be able to say, okay, this part of the problem is here, said Danielle. She was able to hold her finger on one number while looking at the rest of the problem. While this is possible on paper Braille, currently you are unable to do this on any other electronic Braille device. If I were trying to solve those problems, it would have made it a whole lot easier. Danielle believes she would have gotten better grades in math if she had been able to utilize the Monarch in school. The Tactile Viewer, an app that gives users access to the Tactile Graphic Image Library, TGIL, is Danielle's favorite. As a blind adult, I don't need those graphics to review in class, but I still have a lot of fun going through and seeing the diagrams of things I learned about in school, said Danielle. She can view numerous images, get a refresher on what something looks like, or even discover something she's never seen before. Although Danielle is deafblind, she is a visual learner. I've always had to have some kind of tactile representation to grasp a lot of concepts. For me, tactile graphics are the bridge in building concepts. The Monarch's 10 lines of Braille are also equally important for a deafblind user. Usually limited to one line at a time on most Braille displays, the ability to read multiple lines at once on a device like the Monarch would greatly equalize the playing field for deafblind students and adults because our primary communication mode is going to be tactile, said Danielle. By purchasing the Monarch, teachers invest in their students' academic growth. The Monarch will greatly increase literacy, not just your standard Braille literacy, but also your math and tactile graphic literacy, said Danielle. That increase in students' ability to understand tactile graphics is going to go a long way for education and to provide more opportunities as an adult for employment. Pre-order the Monarch at the Hot Link today so you can utilize this revolutionary device in your classroom. There's also an article about the machine on the APH.org website. Meet Monarch. APH is proud to introduce the Monarch, a revolutionary multi-line Braille display, transforming the educational landscape for blind and low-vision students. With its innovative design, the Monarch isn't just a device. It's a beacon of inclusivity, empowering students to thrive in classrooms where barriers once stood tall. Imagine the joy of exploring over 2,000 searchable tactile graphics, igniting curiosity and fostering creativity like never before. For the first time in history, students can harness the power of a built-in graphing calculator to craft intricate tactile graphs, empowering students to grasp complex mathematical concepts with confidence. But the Monarch isn't just about academic prowess. It's about equality and independence. By dramatically reducing the time it takes to gain access to Braille textbooks, it ensures that no student is left behind. With the Monarch, blind and low-vision students are leaders in their own educational journey. It's more than a device. It's a key to unlocking a world of possibilities and paving the path to a future filled with limitless potential. Join us in championing inclusivity with Monarch. The Monarch is a little under 5 pounds and roughly the size of a 15-inch gaming laptop. The device features an 8-dot Perkins Braille keyboard, pan up and down buttons, direction pads, Android navigation keys, and a 10-line by 32-cell refreshable Braille display, which can render lines of Braille and tactile graphics simultaneously with 3,840 equidistant pins. In addition to gesture recognition, the Monarch also has the capability to connect to a visual display for collaboration with sighted teachers and peers. The cutting-edge visual Braille output with finger-tracking technology provides opportunities for remote Braille instruction that have never existed before the Monarch. This technology bridges the educational gap for students, along with the development of a new dynamic file type that will bring Braille, tactile graphics, and navigation capabilities together in a single Braille file. Learn more about eBraille in our interview with APH's Willow Free, co-chair of the eBraille Working Group. There's a hot link for that interview. Applications powered by HumanWare's KeySoft Accessibility Suite come preloaded on the Monarch when you receive your device. A few of the apps included are KeyWord, a word processor supporting MathML and .docx files, KeyMath, a graphing calculator created in partnership with Desmos that allows students to graph tactile functions on demand for the first time ever. Tactile Viewer, a tactile graphic viewing app which connects via Wi-Fi to APH's Tactile Graphics Image Library. And Victor Reader, which connects users to hundreds of literary titles. APH has developed games for Monarch, including Tactile Chess. You can learn more about how the Chess app helps reinforce students' navigation skills in our conversation with APH product manager Jason Martin. At the beginning of 2024, APH kicked off a series of 5 2-day Monarch teacher trainings hosted across the country. Here's what participating teachers are loving about the Monarch. Well, I guess we'll find out later. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Envision News. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. See you next week.